You're listening to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast for the week of July 31. I'm Joe Elia. If you want to get in touch with us, go to podcasts.jwatch.org or call 617-440-4374 or email me at jelia@nejm.org. We've got an interview this week with Dr. Denise Jameson of the CDC regarding the need to start treatment promptly in pregnant women with H1N1 2009 virus infection. Some news in brief first. The CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization has recommended 5 target groups for vaccination against H1N1. The elderly aren't on the list because the virus seems to have spared them so far. Just so you'll know, the 5 groups are pregnant women, household contacts of infants under 6 months, healthcare and emergency services workers, young people between 6 months and 24 years of age, and non-elderly adults with underlying risk conditions such as diabetes and chronic lung disease. Earlier in the week, Lancet published the paper that's the focus of our interview, Treating Pregnant Women with H1N1 Promptly. And speaking of H1N1, the CDC full-out recommends vaccination for children 6 months and older. Next, using expensive tests to investigate the cause of syncope in an elderly patient is, well, expensive. Postural blood pressure measurements are much cheaper and, by the way, much more informative. And last week, sorry there was no podcast then, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology issued new guidelines for labor induction. Now, on to the interview. This week has seen a lot of activity on the H1N1 2009 flu front. First of all, Lancet published an analysis of 34 H1N1 cases among pregnant women who were diagnosed in the first month of the outbreak. The analysts also examined the clinical circumstances surrounding the deaths of 6 pregnant women in the first 2 months of the outbreak. We'll be discussing the implications of that analysis with Dr. Denise Jameson, its first author. Yesterday, the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices met to deliberate which groups to focus on for vaccination when an H1N1 vaccine becomes available. Not surprisingly for readers of the Lancet study, the advisory committee gave pregnant women top priority for vaccination. Dr. Denise Jameson works at the CDC's Division of Reproductive Health. She's also a clinical professor in the Department of Gynecology and Obstetrics at Emory University School of Medicine. Dr. Jameson, you must be in great demand these days. Thank you for joining us on Clinical Conversations.
I'm happy to be here.
Let me ask you right away about the paper's main point. At the end of June, the CDC recommended that pregnant women be treated with antivirals without delay. Your data seem to support that recommendation, don't they?
They do. We have been recommending that pregnant women be treated promptly when the diagnosis of pandemic H1N1 is suspected.
What are the factors that might make an otherwise healthy pregnant woman at risk for flu complications?
Well, we know that this is consistent with both seasonal influenza as well as other pandemic influenza situations, that pregnant women, even when they're relatively healthy, are at increased risk for complications. And this is due to mechanical and hormonal alterations in pregnancy, changes in the cardiovascular and respiratory systems, including decreased lung capacity, and some immunologic changes. There's a shift away from cell-mediated immunity. And all of these changes make pregnant women more susceptible to, and in some cases more severely affected by, certain viruses. And we know in the case of influenza that pregnant women are more severely affected by influenza. We don't, however, know if they're more susceptible.
Uh-huh. The women who died, I think 4 of them were of the 6 who died. Were in the third trimester, weren't they?
And that's also consistent with the pattern that we see for both seasonal influenza as well as, to some degree, in other pandemic situations. But certainly in seasonal influenza, we know that the risk of severe complications increases with each trimester.
physicians, I would think, are reluctant generally to recommend any drugs during pregnancy, except for life-saving ones. What can you tell physicians that would ease their concerns about prescribing Tamiflu or another antiviral, and what in turn could they be telling their patients to alleviate their concerns?
Well, you're right. Unfortunately, we don't know much about the safety of many drugs in pregnancy, and the antivirals are no exception. So our safety data in pregnancy is limited, which makes both women and their health care providers hesitant to prescribe unnecessary medications during pregnancy. However, what I'd say is that, first of all, we don't have any evidence of adverse effects in pregnancy different than adverse effects in the general population.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, we know that there are very serious risks of doing nothing, and that we believe that in this case, when you've got a woman with pandemic H1N1, that we believe the benefits of the antivirals outweigh any risks.
So in the as you looked at the pregnant women who came down with H1N1, their likelihood of being admitted to the hospital because of severe illness was something like four times that of the people with H1N1 in the general population. Is that right?
That's right. So they were four times more likely to be admitted to the hospital compared to the general population. I mean, you have to keep in mind that the decision to admit a patient is complex and may include considerations beyond just the disease severity. For example, clinicians may be more likely to hospitalize a woman simply because she's pregnant. However, we do think that this is some measure of disease severity. The other piece that was reported in the paper is that the proportion of influenza deaths among pregnant women were greater than you would expect. So at any one point in time, about 1% of the U.S. population is pregnant, and yet 13% of the influenza deaths in the first 2 months of the outbreak were in pregnant women.
Mm.
We have some more recent data. As of this week, there were 302 deaths reported from states to the CDC. And keep in mind, this is all voluntary reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, we have relatively complete information on 266, and we know out of those, 15 of those were pregnant women. So the proportion is somewhere between 6 and 13% probably, but these numbers are pretty unstable due to the small, relatively small numbers.
The good news is that novel H1N1 is sensitive to both oseltamivir and zanamivir. Is that correct?
It has been, yes.
There are a couple of reported cases where it has been resistant, but for the most part, it seems from the briefings that I've heard, it seems to be in the southern hemisphere still sensitive to those drugs.
Right.
So that's good news. So the bottom line is, if I can put words into your mouth, and there aren't many words because you've said this pretty strongly in your paper, that treatment should start within 2 days of symptoms if possible. Is that right? In pregnant women.
So ideally, we know that the greatest benefit is within 48 hours. But there's also evidence that if it's not started within 48 hours, there's also benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So the message for clinicians really is, if you're thinking influenza in a pregnant woman, you really need to promptly start antiviral therapy as soon as possible.
All right. Well, Dr. Jameson, I know that you've got a busy schedule today, and I want to thank you very much on behalf of our listeners for taking the time to explain this research and for your advice on the implications.
Thank you very much for your interest.
If you need access to earlier editions, just go to podcasts.jwatch.org. All 50 of them are to be found there. We're all ears at 1-617-440-4374. Give us a ring or drop me a note at jelia@nejm.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next week. Enough said.